BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
A woman stands alone. Set against a barren landscape, she looks straight out at us. Tears, like white crystals, pour from her eyes, and her body is pierced with 54 nails. To keep her straight, she is strapped into a metal corset that tightens around her shoulders and clutches at her waist. Her chest is exposed and her bloody insides visible, with a near-shattering fluted column that thrusts through her body as a stand-in for a spine, keeping her head held high, queen-like, and alive. The painting I'm talking about is Broken Column from 1944, and the woman in the painting, as well as its author, is Frida Kahlo, the Mexican-born artist synonymous with her self-portraits, who favoured this subject in her words, "Because I am so often alone, because I am the subject I know best." I first saw this portrait when I travelled to Mexico City, age 21. It's about 30 by 40 centimetres, a bit larger than a shoebox and smaller than a desktop screen. Whenever I witness a painting by Kahlo, I'm always amazed and surprised by how small they are because of how much power they emit. They feel like relics or jewels, and companions too. Although she painted herself alone, somehow she makes us feel less alone. Full of emotion, it's like she's telling us that, whatever we might be feeling, she too has been through it before. I haven't seen many of Kahlo's paintings in person. They're rarely on view in the UK. The most recent one was Diego and I from 1949, a close-up of her face with an image of her husband, Diego Rivera, tattooed on her forehead. It was at Sotheby's in London, just before it sold for $34 million. Installed at eye height, I remember so vividly the tears falling from her eyes. I noted them down as almost sculptural and remember feeling the love, grief, desire and pain that so strongly emanated from her image. I also noticed the thin, green, sparkling headband she was wearing. A band that, although kept her hair out of her face, could also untie in a flash, as if a metaphor for the precarious nature of love or life, something that Kahlo constantly referenced in her work. Broken Column, though, hits harder. It's a different sensation. Your body tenses up, and drawn to the brace that keeps her body in check, you immediately think about that one bone, the spine, that keeps your body in place. But despite the emotional and physical pain that transmits from her image, having been made in the aftermath of dozens of operations, Frida appears strong, standing stoically and proudly, as if an emblem of survival who says, "I am here, I am standing, I will persevere and achieve what I can as a woman and as an artist." Because for Frida Kahlo, no matter how ambitious and brave she was in her painting, life was a constant battle. In love, in her physicality, and her struggle to be taken seriously as a woman and as an artist. Born in 1907, although she always claimed it as 1910 to be a child of the Mexican Revolution, Kahlo was the third of four girls and a brother who died young to a homemaker mother and photographer father. Especially close to him, Frida and her father saw themselves as intellectuals. She spent her days helping him out in the studio, learning how to frame an image and how to touch up photographs. From him, she had access to his vast library of books on European old masters, from Giotto to Tintoretto, Holbein to Cimabue, that he passed down to her and which she kept for the rest of her life. They can still be found today in Museo Frida Kahlo, her former home, Casa Azul, in Mexico City. But Frida and her father were also close due to their shared empathy with each other's suffering. He from epilepsy and her with polio, a disease she contracted when she was 6 years old that left her with one leg shorter than the other. The bullies would nickname her Peg Leg at school. But Frida, as much as it would have pained her, never played the victim. She was strong, and if she was going to be picked on, then she better learn how to talk and fight back. Fast forward a few years and she's one of 35 girls in a school of 2,000 boys. Driven by progressive leaders, La Preparatoria was the best, most academic school in the whole of Mexico City, and Frida was at the centre of it. A post-revolution era, it was a time when Mexicans were forging a new identity and rejecting European traditions. Although a woman in a man's world, she made herself heard, did well in class, and selected studies that set her up for medical school. But on the 17th of September, 1925, everything changed. The sky was clouded with light rain, and Frida, now aged 18, with her boyfriend Alejandro, took a bus trip. Soon after the journey had started, it collided with an industrial electric train, causing the bus to stretch and swerve and burst into 1,000 pieces. The handrail had thrusted through Frida's pelvis, something she claimed as how she lost her virginity, and she was found by Alejandro, who recalled her lying in the street, unclothed, coated not just in blood, but shimmering in gold powder from a tub that someone on the bus had been holding, her screams louder than the sirens from the Red Cross ambulance. Her spine was broken in 3 places, her collarbone, ribs, pelvis, leg, shoulder and foot too. It was a miracle that she survived. But her greatest fear, more than pain or her dreams to be a doctor, was the prospect of being bound to her bed, away from the action, away from the revolution. To keep her occupied, Frida's mother, affixing a mirror to the top of her bed, gave her some paints. She began decorating the plaster casts and corsets that kept her body intact with images of butterflies and, at other times, messages with unfulfilled wishes. But she soon turned to herself. Fabricating beauty out of pain, she painted herself into art history, using her body fearlessly and honestly. This was her vessel for fueling discussions around being a woman and an artist, her battle with death, her ardent communist beliefs, and as a way to show off her profound intelligence. Between the mid-1920s and 1944, the year that she painted Broken Column, Frida experienced love, marriage, the trauma of miscarriage, divorce and remarriage to the same artist husband. She also had a love affair with Leon Trotsky and another with the photographer Nicholas Murray. She read widely, travelled extensively to major cities with art institutions such as San Francisco and New York City, but also to Paris in 1939, where she exhibited her self-portrait with flowers. She saw the splendours of the Louvre, the same museum that purchased her work as the first ever Latin American woman artist for the French National Collections. Here, she took interest in the Egyptian artefacts and, in particular, in 2 Greek antiquities. The Venus de Milo, standing gloriously in a body with no arms, and the Victory of Samothrace, a winged figure with no head, both victorious women who stood mightily. We know they were influential as she purchased postcards of them, which she kept close in her sight alongside her books on Freud, medicine, pre-Columbian art and other art histories. In Broken Column, though, she takes her classical knowledge further. Look closer at the column in her body and you realise it's in the Ionic style. A feminine take on the straighter, less embellished Doric, known for its volutes that evoke curling locks of hair and flutes on the body that mirror a woman's pleated dress. Ionic columns can also be found on the temple of Athena Nike, the goddess of victory, on the Acropolis in Athens, which leads me to question if Carlo is alluding her image as victorious, or claiming the feminine style as her own, as a symbol of strength. Look further down the painting, though, and you realise that the column is shattering. Does this suggest that her body is in ruins, or that it's holding on against all odds, pointing to the constant pain she went through, the 32 operations she witnessed in her lifetime, or her battle to live? It also marks a break with the perfect image of a woman, and Carlo signalling this as a new time. Art history, much of it influenced by what the old masters borrowed from the Greeks, has so often shown us a single idealised image of what a woman should look like. They have been in the form of allegories, as saints or mythical figures, so often as the binary angel or the whore, but here, in Broken Column, we see a woman by a woman for who and what she is, her multitudinous self. Because rarely has there been room for a broken body, a wounded body, a disabled body, a bloody body, an imperfect by society standards body. Stripping it of shame, Carlo presents herself as powerful, as if to say, "Here I am, I have survived." With the large and small nails that pin into her skin, I also draw parallels with Saint Sebastian, the saint who, tied to a tree, was used as an archery target and survived by divine intervention, becoming an emblem to those who lived through pain in order to receive pleasure. Similarly, the tears that streak down her face allude to the depiction of the Madonna in Mexico, crying over the sins of the world, and the loincloth that Frida clutches so tightly and covers beneath her waist, perhaps to hide her pelvis and no doubt her many scars, recalls the one found in common depictions of Christ. But when we zoom out of the picture and see her body set against a barren, desolate, green and brown landscape, light clouds shading the bright blue sky behind her, it's her isolation that feels the most apparent. The vast landscape being a mark of her loneliness and reminding me of the eerie sceneries found in surrealist painting. We know that Carlo would have been familiar with the movement from her time in Paris. She had recently befriended the painter Yves Tanguy, who gifted her a painting, a small metaphysical landscape which she hung close by her easel in her house. But the landscape could also signal to El Pedregal, a rocky neighbourhood near Mexico City, where she and Diego had recently purchased land. El Pedregal was known for its desolate surfaces having formed after the eruption of a volcano more than 2,500 years ago, which wiped out pre-Columbian communities. The neighbourhood of El Pedregal is a metaphor for the pass of time. While you think that things might last forever, it's a reminder that something even as stoic as a landscape can be erased overnight. But the green of the landscape could also symbolise rebirth, because little by little, vegetation can begin to bloom. So no matter how much Frida Kahlo was stunted by her life, from her operations to her heartbreak, her miscarriage to her constant fight to be heard, Broken Column is a message to us today that says justice will come, life will be reborn. Frida Kahlo never gave up. One of her final appearances in public was to her first ever solo exhibition in 1953, a year before she died. She was driven in by an ambulance and arrived on a stretcher bed just so she could see her own work. Her final painting, made 8 days before her death, was titled Viva la Vida, translating to Long Live Life, depicting luminously red, succulent half and whole watermelons. And her final diary entry wrote, "I hope the exit is joyful. I hope never to return. Frida." She was 47 years old. Frida might be gone, but through painting she lives on. In art history and now culture at large, her image has become an emblem of strength, someone who is unafraid to show love, pain, desire and heartbreak. She is an effigy for people whose odds are against them, but who persistently persevere. It's why generations have continued to rediscover her, drawn to her powerful stoic identity, no matter their age, sex, race or background. So, if you find yourself in physical or emotional pain, look at Broken Column. It's a reminder that this may be rock bottom. The animals have gone, the nails are piercing you, your eyes are streaming tears. But in the end, however much pain you are feeling, just like Frida, you too will survive.